Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Zach Gelb Show continues right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now, and we welcome in the Hall of Fame pitcher, now does a great job as the lead analyst for the MLB on Fox. And how about this for John Smoltz? He's actually competing this weekend in the 2021 Color Guard Classic, which is a PGA Tour's champion tournament played in Tucson February 26th through the 28th. And the 2021 Color Guard Classic looks to educate people on the importance of early detection of colorectal cancer through screening, honor colorectal cancer survivors, patients, and caregivers, and recognize those who have been affected by the disease. John, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Looks like you got a good weekend for you with the great cause involved.
Yeah, this is not only a great time of the year, but you just mentioned all the things that this tournament does and is responsible for. And I've met so many incredible people, played in a lot of pro-ams, and the stories of people being brought aware of this and their ability to save lives has been incredible. So this tournament here, I've never been to Tucson until 2 years ago, and I am forever grateful to be able to play in an event like this.
How do you give me the scouting report on your golf game these days?
Well, you know, as a broadcaster, I'm just going to have to tell you straight. I'm looking for some things to click here soon. I know baseball is getting ready to kick off, and my schedule's been really hectic. And when I got the news I was playing, you know, it's like cramming for a test, trying to get as many swings in, putts in. And look, I've played my whole career and had tremendous bullpens that didn't indicate I was going to have a good game. So I don't want to always go by how it's going right now. But, look, this is a great testament to my game to see where it's at. I know I can't, on a day-to-day basis, compete with these guys, but the competitive juices are incredibly there when an event like this is taking place. And I learn a lot, you know. I learn through failure, and I don't want to go into it thinking I'm going to fail. But this is just, it's been a dream of mine. And I can still pinch myself every time I'm here and I see the full field that is absolutely loaded with guys I've watched my whole life.
You know, it's really amazing because, you know, it as a pitcher, when you sometimes don't have your best stuff, you could work around it and still get through 6-7 innings and look in a real dominant fashion. On the golf course, we've all been there, and I'm not at the level that you're at, but when you have a few bad swings, you could really mentally get out of it and check out and have a terrible round.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? You know, golf was the golfers will always tell me, we got to play our foul balls. In baseball, you don't have to play your foul ball. And you have teammates to bail you out, to your point. So what I love about golf is it is all about you and the mental side of it. And, you know, golf is a game of inches, just like a lot of sports and baseball. But there's so many bounces that could go your way. And to your point, bad bounces that go against you. What I'm amazed, because these guys have done this their whole life, they don't show it a lot, but they just manage everything very well. Like, I'm sure they get mad, but it doesn't show. And you can't, you know, when you got a ball in your hand, throwing it harder because you're mad doesn't mean it's going to work. And hitting it harder because you're mad is certainly not going to work. So it's a game of controlled aggression, I think. And that's what I love about it.
The Hall of Famer John Smoltz here with us. The entire golf world and actually the entire world is reacting to what happened to Tiger Woods this week. Fortunately, it looks like he's going to be all right, but there's going to be a long road to recovery. Do you have any relationship through your love for golf and your baseball background as well with Tiger? And how'd you react to the unfortunate news earlier this week?
Yeah, back in our playing days in Orlando, I probably played about 30 or 35 rounds of golf with Tiger. So certainly, you know, we've had our blast. I had just the time of my life. If you can only imagine, getting a chance to play with him was something not a lot of people get to do. So yeah, I was saddened but relieved, and hopefully the ability that he has and the ability that he's always shown, you know, to fight through things. This is going to change a lot for him, like it would change anybody. And, you know, I'm just glad to know that he'll be able to resume what seems to be normal activities of life, whether or not he gets back to the competitive golf. I think everybody in the golfing world kind of feels like he will, but time will tell.
That must have been such a cool experience for you, playing 30-plus rounds of golf with him. We look at you larger than life. We look at Tiger larger than life. You probably got to geek out, though, when you get to play golf with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it started right when we got to our spring training new home in Orlando. And, of course, he was just coming onto the scenes. And, you know, I met him at an all-star cafe, and we just created a relationship. And next thing you know, he loves sports, loves baseball. He'd been to a bunch of playoff games that we played in. And just being in Orlando every spring training and where he lived made it a nice opportunity to play golf. I got a chance to play with him and Annika at the same time, which I think is the only person to ever play with those two number ones at the time. And yeah, I find myself looking back and going, that's just unbelievable. He got a chance to bat against me in a simulated game at the stadium, something he always wanted to do. And so I know that following his career and, of course, what he's done for the game of golf, I mean, both he and Jack, you just can't get much more impactful than those two.
How is Tiger in the batter's box?
You know, he's athletic, so he was in there, and I told him, the only thing I was a little nervous about is not that I was going to hit him. I wasn't worried about that. It was that he was going to jam his thumbs, and in golf, you know, your hands are so important. But he wanted everything that I had to throw, and he took batting practice. He was like a little kid, like I was a little kid when I got a chance to play with him in golf. So, you know, we got a chance to do that without anybody there because the team was on the road. It was a perfect scenario. And other than my young catcher who was calling balls and strikes, he just never wanted to really punch out Tiger on a couple calls that should have been strikes.
So he wasn't touching your best stuff is what you're telling me.
Yeah, no.
John Smoltz here with us. NL East, I know you're brave. You're one of the best analysts in the game currently. I'm a Mets fan. It looks like a two-team race to me. I don't want to count out the Nationals and Phillies, though. How do you look at this NL East? Do you think the Braves win it, or you go with the Mets?
I've always said that if the Mets are able to somehow find a way to be healthy, and it looks like they've got more depth this year, they are the team that did the most in the offseason. But everybody from the analytics, you know, have always given the Braves no love, and that's the team that's won the last three divisions, although be it last year, a shorter season. I think the Mets have created a scenario where they don't have much weakness. Now, the only weakness is going to be, can they stay healthy? And for Mets fans, who I picked the Mets quite a bit, it hasn't worked out. I think this is the year that they've given themselves the best chance for it to work out. I've loved Jacob DeGrom ever since I've seen him. I think he's the most dynamic pitcher in the game. He needs some help, and he needs some guys to help contribute. And Mets fans have been waiting for a long time. I think this year in the East is going to be about the attrition of the season because it's going to be a battle. It's the best division in baseball. The Marlins are no slouch either. And I think the team that is able to win the division is a team that stays the healthiest. There's not much weaknesses between the Braves, the Mets, and even the Nationals are a team that, you know, could sneak and make some noise. So I just think that division, someone's going to have to win that division because the battle within it is not going to allow them to have the win total, I think, because the National League is so balanced. You know, there's some divisions where you could cherry pick a wild card team because maybe, let's say, the Central isn't as strong as the East, and the West has basically two teams. So that's the battle. It's the battle to win the division because I don't know that you're guaranteed another spot based on the way that the teams are and the leagues are set up.
I agree with you on the health in that division. That plays a big factor, and I know that better than anyone being a Mets fan. It seems like they get hurt more than anybody. That bullpen, though, Lugo currently hurt, talking about health. Diaz, Familia, Betances, is there upside there? Do you think they put it all together this year in the bullpen?
Well, I think there's upside if they don't rely on it. Meaning, the baseball has gone too heavy to the bullpens, thinking that, we can just piece it together and use a lot of guys throughout the year. This year, more than ever, because of last year's, you know, gap of games, you know, everyone's concerned about how do you cover those innings when pitchers haven't thrown that much in a year and a half. That's why you got to rely on your starters. The team that wins it this year will have the best starting pitching, period. It won't be because they have the best bullpen. that will not work in a 162-game schedule. So if you can get your starters to a point after April where they go 6-7 and eight, you know, even 8 every once in a while, now that bullpen is not dependent upon 9 guys or 8 guys or however they're going to use choose. So I think their bullpen has tremendous upside because of the freshness of the year, getting the cobwebs out from some of the guys who struggled either physically or mentally. And I just think, their bullpen has as many weapons. It's easy to get the glass half full in baseball, but I'm a guy that usually likes to approach it with the glass half. I mean, it's easy to get half empty in baseball, thinking the worst. I'm a guy who's closer to half full, and that's the way I would approach it.
Let me get to, when we talk about rotations, the Dodgers may not even make the rotation, which is just ridiculous and shows the depth that they have. Whenever we talk about great rotations, people bring up your team in Atlanta in 98. How about this Dodgers rotation? Because it has potential to be just ridiculously good.
Yeah, I mean, it has so much dynamics to it. They're never going to be able to stick around that long, which is a shame based on the economics of the game. You know, we were able to stick around for 10 years, stayed healthy for all 10 years of that. This game's about how many pieces can you accrue to pick up for, give rest. It's a whole different mindset. But that Dodger rotation, we're not even talking about Julio Urias, who would be a number one or number two on 90% of the baseball teams around the league. And he might be their closer at the end of the day. I think baseball, for the most part, not counting the Dodgers and some of the elite, are playing with a little bit of fire when you have great arms and you bounce them around in the pen, back to the rotation in the pen. I think that's a dangerous game to play. I'd like to see guys stick in the rotation, give their 30, 35 starts, and watch them develop into monsters. And the only thing you got to worry about if you're a Dodger fan is what is the psyche of those two young pitchers that had to do that last year in the postseason and go back and forth and didn't have the quite success they want. Where is their heads this year as they move into a rotation that's already full? So that's a great problem to have if you're a Dodger player, if you're a Dodger fan, because they're loaded.
Can never have enough pitching. John Smoltz here with us for a few more moments. How much of a challenge will the Padres present the Dodgers this season?
Tremendous challenge. The one thing about baseball, though, and you can go back to every sport, and you watch these teams come up. I think of the basketball Pistons. I'm a fan of them. I grew up there, and they couldn't beat the Boston Celtics forever, and they kept trying and trying. Then they got over the hump. Then I think of the Bulls. They couldn't beat the Pistons, and they got over the hump. That scenario plays out with the Padres. They're exciting. They can win it all. They can win their division, but it's harder to do something you've never done. You've got to do it. You've got to beat the bully. And the Dodgers have had a stronghold in that division. They don't want to make anything any less of what they've been able to do every year. And the Padres have to learn how to do that. And once you break through, it's similar to what we did in 91. No one expected us to do anything in 91. The Dodgers and the Reds were so far ahead of us, they didn't even give us any respect. Next thing you know, we win that division. Well, what happens after that? Now it's harder to win when you're supposed to. It's easier to win when you're not. So the bottom line with the Padres, they can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers. They can feel confident. But until they knock off the champs, that's the next thing. That's the next thing they need to accomplish. They've made their steps, made the playoffs, played a decent series against them. It was close, but then the Dodgers won, going away. Now you got to prove it.
When we get to the Kevin Mather comments, as he's no longer the CEO of the Mariners, service time and how teams manipulate service time has always annoyed me, but I get it. It's part of the game. This one was surprising because something that obviously happens then was made public. Is there anything baseball could do here to try to work around this, or is it just something that's unavoidable?
Well, in sports, and maybe baseball is a little slow to some of the changes that other sports have made for a variety of reasons, whether it's, action that needs to be in certain sports. I think whenever there is a scenario where it looks like there's a loophole or there's something you're taking advantage of, you can't blame the individual organizations and or collectively. It didn't then comes down to, all right, what do we need to do as an as an entity to kind of change that direction? And I think that's what you've seen, some subtle changes in the game that I know right away people go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And it's fine. Everything will be fine when the changes are made for a long-term benefit, whatever they are. I'm a big proponent, just to give you an idea, is once you ban the shift, you will watch and see action back in the game that you don't see, because if the shift allows teams to defend against the ball on the ground, everybody's going to try to hit the ball in the air. And so we wonder why we have more home runs, strikeouts, and walks than ever before. It's because the philosophical defense has taken away the ball that's hit at 100 miles an hour on the ground. There's too many guys there to defend it. That's just one example of where you could make a philosophical change to a style of baseball that you would drastically see more contact than you see today, because if there was the traditional defenses, and people go crazy when you hear stuff like that, but they did it in basketball, they made defensive changes. They've done it in football to increase scoring. They did it in hockey to increase scoring. So all these subtle changes that people want to hold on to baseball as the historically slowest sport to make changes, will get over it really fast, just like they get over the field goal or the extra point being a 40-yard field goal attempt rather than a 20-yard field goal attempt.
John Smoltz, are the Yankees, to you, the best team in the AL on paper right now?
I don't know if they're the best. I think they have the possibility to be the best. Again, the Yankees are now entering a similar scenario as the Mets. Their health has not been good the last 2 years to put those monsters on the field to where they can just bash. You keep Judge and Stanton and that offense healthy, then I can make that argument. But they have some injuries in their pitching rotation that they're hoping to get, you know, cured up. I like what the White Sox have done. I like that Minnesota's in the mix. I think that Toronto has vastly improved their team. But on paper, it's hard to argue with what the Yankees can do when you see that the subtleties of the American League balance has changed drastically. It's kind of shifted into the National League, where most of the power ranking teams are there. So it's an interesting American League this year, because I think for the first time in a long time, it's pretty wide open. You know, the last few years have been kind of Houston, New York, they've kind of dominated, and the Rays did what they did last year.
But what about the Astros heading into this year? Verlander's hurt, and now Springer's with the Blue Jays. How do you kind of look at Houston?
The Astros have this unique way. They have, you know, last year probably more of a blessing that it happened the way it did. Would have been one of those years that, you know, I think it the pandemic took everybody's attention, and rightfully so, away from what had happened a couple of years ago. I think the Astros have a lot to prove. That helps, and they have an inner desire to show people why they're naturally really gifted and not tainted anymore. So I think the Astros, a lot of people are going to kind of forget about them, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to win their division again.
Last one for you, John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. La Russa, that White Sox team, they have big expectations this year. Here coming back to the dugout, what do you expect all these years removed from being in the dugout, even though he's still been involved with the game?
He's one of the guys that I've always felt is a lifer. He thinks, drinks, and sleeps baseball. He really does. He's absolutely a guy that loves the game. And the time away and seeing some of the things he likes, some of the things he didn't like, I believe he'll bring balance. And I believe he'll bring stability to an organization that now has a chance to take over Chicago, right? It's always been the Cubs. And so the White Sox are primed and ready, and I think it's a perfect scenario for what Tony La Russa has meant to baseball, and his pedigree speaks for itself.
Hit him straight in the Color Guard Classic, John. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.